Everyone, this is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, called to order at 12:08. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes, Alice and Doggy?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Blake, you're on mute.
Here, sorry. I pushed the button to thought I unmuted me, but it didn't do what I wanted it to.
Okay, thank you.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner? Helen Erickson?
Here.
J.J. Lamb? Joel Ireland? Julie Rigoli?
Here.
Ann Scoville? Kathy Kubish?
Here.
Mauro Trejo?
Here.
Peter Steer? Savannah McDonald? Stephen Grady?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagyard?
Here.
Perfect. Great. Quorum is at 12.
Okay, thank you. Could we go ahead and have item 2, land acknowledgement, please, Commissioner Lozano?
Okay. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pasboyaki tribe within Pima County. Consistent with TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Item 3 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 5/7/25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
So moved.
Is that Andrew? Okay, is there a second?
Helen. I'll second.
Okay, we'll put Kathy down. Okay, is there any discussion? Okay, could we have roll call, please?
It's okay, sorry. Okay, Alice and Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher? Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 12-0.
Great, thank you very much. Item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. I just want to mention that we are at a quorum, so we have to be as succinct as we can so that we don't lose a quorum. I know that Commissioner Grady has to be off at 1:25 at the latest, correct, Steve? Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Let's see, I was also going to report briefly on the 2025 Preserve Arizona Conference that was held in May 14th to 17th in Phoenix. I attended. I thought it was a really excellent conference. Interesting that it was at the at ASU's downtown campus. They had it, you know, in several buildings. They had a tribal listening session at the former Casa Grande Museum. Anyway, it's now Sadavaki, which I can never pronounce correctly. My apologies to the tribes. But that was a full event. It was a very nice conference. I thought we had some other, I think we only had one commissioner attending the training, and that was Commissioner Miner, and he said it was a good thing. Desiree might also want to say a little bit about it, or anyone else who attended the conference. Helen wasn't there. I'm not sure if any other commissioners made it. Did you want to say anything, Desiree?
Sure. We attended, Dan, Michael, and I attended the CLG training. There was also one board member from one of our advisory boards from Fort Lowell who attended that. So, I found it very helpful, very useful. And I agree with you, Chair Majewski, the conference was really fantastic.
Yeah, they worked hard. And thanks, Dan and Michael, for being there. And I believe that Courtney and Ian were there, too. But I don't know if they want to...
Yeah, that's correct. Scott O'Mac, who is on, and Ian Milliken and I all attended as well, and we were able to attend, instead of the CLG session, we were able to attend the tribal listening session, which helped inform some of the work that we're doing internally in our department and also Pima Prospers. Great. It was excellent all around.
Yeah, it was really good. Enjoyed it a lot. Okay, item 5 is recently posted subcommittee legal action reports and minutes. You can access posted materials at that link, and there's many meetings and many things posted, so enjoy. Item 6 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. We are going to have... a little bit of this kind of work, but it's going to be under item 13 because it's related to Plan Tucson. So we won't do any of that here. Let me just get rid of that thing there. Okay. Item 7 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson. Desiree, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Majewski. So we have a number of updates, but I'm going to keep mine brief so that I can hand it over to Dan Bursek, who's going to give an update on the middle housing bill. But before I hand it over, I'll just share that we made an offer to a candidate for the Historic Preservation Lead Planner position. They have a tentative start date in July, so we're going through that process, and we'll share more, but we're very excited. We also are going to begin interviews for the Cultural Resource Compliance Manager in a couple of weeks, and I will provide more updates on that as well. A few city project updates. So I was fortunate to attend the groundbreaking for the Fort Lowell Commissary project a few weeks ago. Our office is working with Parks and Recreation and the architect to oversee the work being done there. So I'll also bring more updates as that progresses. Parks and Rec is also overseeing a park improvement project at Santa Rita Park. And so I did want to share, a month or two ago, we were contacted by the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation regarding their interest in the Santa Rita bathhouse and pool. The structure is not listed or designated, but it is over 50 years of age. So we worked with Parks and Rec to very late in the game, but look at that resource. And it is undergoing evaluation for a determination of eligibility currently. But the Tucson Preservation Foundation did request that the item be put on the July 21st Parks and Connections Bond Oversight Committee meeting, which takes place 5:30. So I wanted to share that in case anyone was interested. And the item did go to both Historic Landscapes and PRS recently. We have ongoing Section 106 consultations and reviews. A lot is going on with our housing department. So there's a few projects: Stone Avenue Youth Transitional Housing Project, South 10th Avenue Housing Redevelopment, Esker Parks, Dog Park Improvement. We have a couple private cases that I think you all might be interested in. There's been a lot of interest in the proposed demolition of a contributor in the downtown historic district as part of the Fox Theater expansion proposal. So that is going to PRS on July 26th. So you can find out more information on our website about that virtual meeting. And then the All Saints Project project in Armory Park, Armory Park Historic Advisory Board members, a few of them attended a tour and site visit of that property, and it'll be going back through the through PRS and the advisory board in July. So with that, I'll hand it over to Dan.
This is Joel Ireland. I'm sorry I joined late at 12:18.
Okay, thank you, Joel. Thank you.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
Excellent. Yeah, no, thank you, Terry. Wanted to provide an update on middle housing code changes we're doing for the city of Tucson. I know we don't have a ton of time today, so I'm going to do a brief overview, kind of let everyone know where we're at with that, and then we're happy to come back and do a more in-depth kind of presentation for the group. And so basically with the middle housing code development and code project that we're working on right now, this was really began with the state legislature last year, and they had House Bill 2721. This was a bill that required all municipalities of 75,000 people or more to make changes to their zoning code to allow for 1, 2, 3, and 4-plexes and townhomes within a mile of their central business district. And so it forced us to go, it's forcing us basically to go through and do that by January 1st, 2026. If we don't make any changes by January 1st, 2026, we basically would allow for middle housing, those up to 4-plexes in the city, without limitations, essentially. So we're going through and doing this process. Mayor and council, back in April, provide a direction to staff to kind of look at how to do this and maybe do this in a way that makes a little more sense than just drawing an arbitrary boundary or 1 mile from the central business district. So they gave us some direction back on April 22nd to really bring some options to the community related to geographic area and where we may want to look at allowing for middle housing, which is a housing type that's, as many of you know, has historically been allowed in the city, but over years kind of has been changes of zoning code have made it challenging to develop some of these. And so they gave us a direction to kind of go out to the community, do some meetings. So about a week and a half ago, end of May, we held one in-person public meeting and then two virtual public meetings. There are about 120 people or so that joined for those to get feedback on this and what we should potentially do. Conversations that we had related to there were, should we keep our existing zoning standards? Should we make it maybe a little more flexible? There were concerns about potential demolition of contributing structures within historic districts, and the thought that if you add a little more flexibility, you may allow for a structure to remain while still allowing for kind of middle housing to be developed on them. So that it was probably about 60-70% were in favor of adding some additional flexibility related to those standards. We talked about geography. A lot of this came down to the minimum geography we have to do and should we expand it. And this was a conversation Mayor and Council said, go out to the community, talk to them about what is maybe a more logical boundary or where this should go. A lot of that conversation that we had with the community was related to displacement and the potential for kind of increasing development pressures on the downtown area, which is already kind of experiencing a lot of those. And so ultimately, the preference of our public meetings, which was a pretty diverse group of people, was to look at a citywide option for this, potentially phasing it in over time, but then also looking at a larger boundary than just the very minimum. So took that back from them. We also talked about landscaping and landscaping and design issues related to this, because right now for single-family homes, other than in our historic preservation zones, we don't have any design standards for single-family homes, but we do for multifamily. And so because we have to allow for single-family homes, basically regulations to be applied to multifamily, we probably need to add in design standards for our single family homes. And so there were preferences really for landscaping, pedestrian circulation, for that from the community. So we're looking at potential changes for that. Ultimately, you know, we got some really great feedback from the public. I do want to mention, just kind of related because this is the Historic Commission, the way we interpret the bill is that historic preservation zones would still remain, and you would still have to go through HPZ review and everything of that sort. It's basically that what they say is that you can't have different standards for middle housing than you do for single family homes. And because we already apply the HPZs to single family homes, we're okay doing the exact same thing to our to the middle housing new types, especially because, you know, it's important because, you know, even the minimum geography, four of our five HPZs all fall within that. And so that's something that we did want to kind of report back to you. There's some minor issues, kind of similar to what we did with the accessory dwelling units and the casitas, to where you may have to look at if the development zone is limiting it to one floor versus two floors, it might cause some issues. So we have our city attorneys looking at that to see whether or not we're going to run into any legal problems at a state level. But we do feel that both the HPZs and our NPZs, neighborhood preservation zones, should be able to remain in those areas. So with that, what we're doing now is we've taken all that feedback. We've gotten over 500 comments. We have an online form, which I'll share in the chat, which will be open through the end of the month. And then we're going to Mayor and Council on June 17th to present this to them to get feedback on kind of how to move forward. From there, our goal is over the summer, we're going to start developing a proposal because we do have to have this done by January 1st. And then do some additional public outreach once people come back from the summer in August or so, which will lead to Planning Commission and Mayor and Council review. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. I will say that, you know, it sounds like a really big change, but when you start to look at the fact that our R2 zones and more and less restrictive all allow for middle housing types currently, as well as the fact that with the state level, the state making us make changes related to accessory dwelling units, you can already really do a primary structure and two accessory dwelling units. Going up to four on a lot isn't as big of a change as I think it initially sounds like. But it really is trying to provide a housing type that I think has traditionally been in a lot of the older neighborhoods here. You just don't see in a lot of the newer development that occurs. So with that, I answer any questions. I am happy to, again, come back and kind of go through the full presentation. I just know that we have a pretty packed agenda and wanted to preserve time.
Well, Dan, before I take any other questions, so when would, if we had a full fuller presentation in July, and then would we still have time to write to Mayor and Council and the Planning Commission if we so desired?
Yes, of course. So as it is right now, we will be kind of working on analysis and developing a proposal. We won't have a proposal until the fall. You can definitely have time to send things to the Planning Commission. We won't be at the Planning Commission until probably late September, October, and then Mayor and Council in November. So it's later next year.
Okay, so basically we could work on, you know, a presentation so everyone would understand it. And so any quick questions for Dan? I'm not seeing any hands up, so thank you for that, because that helps a lot to know those things. I'm not seeing any other hands up. Okay. All right. Anything else from the city?
I think that's it.
No? Oh, I did have one question, Desiree. So we're excited that you are interviewing or hiring folks for your department, but what are the plans for hiring an archaeologist?
So the cultural resource compliance project manager, it's potential that they would be an archaeologist. That is in the preferred qualifications. So that would be the position that would be overseeing the archaeological work.
Okay. Would they eventually become like the city archaeologist, or you don't know, or that's not part of the position? Because you used to have one.
That I'm not sure.
Yeah, Terry, so I think there's room to grow within that position, and that's okay. Definitely something. We see it as a higher-level position as is, and even more room to grow within that.
Oh, okay. And did you say the person is you're interviewing, or you have someone that's going to start?
So there are currently two positions that we're recruiting for. So one, we just accepted an offer, or the candidate accepted an offer. So assuming everything goes as planned, that person, which would be the historic preservation lead planner, would start in July. And then the second position is that cultural resources compliance manager. And that one we're just beginning interviews for.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. I just wanted to clarify that because some people might have questions. Anyone else with a question for the city? Okay. If not, I will move on to 7B, which is Pima County. Are you reporting for us today, Courtney?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm reporting. Ian Milliken had a scheduling conflict, and he provided me a list of items to report. I'll begin with Pima County Board of Supervisors Chair Scott sent a letter to Governor Hoggs, Senate President Peterson, and House Speaker Montenegro requesting permanent funding for the State Historic Preservation Office. And the commission received copies of this correspondence last week, I believe.
Yeah, I did. I'm not sure if, I think everyone did, didn't they? Yes? No? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
Next, a working group session for the Middle Mile Broadband Infrastructure Projects Programmatic Agreement, or PA, is scheduled for Monday, July 23rd at 11 a.m. Ian has been leading that project for cultural resources for Pima County, and the list of members, potential members for the working group is about 60 people, includes BLM, looks like City of Tucson, Arizona State Museum, Tribes, Town of Oro Valley, Town of Sarita, Town of Marana, City of South Tucson, and they will probably receive a subset of the 60 individuals that were invited for this working group. Next, the Fort Lowell Park groundbreaking ceremony took place on Wednesday, May 28th. Chair Scott, Mayor Regina Romero, and Council Member Paul Cunningham were in attendance and gave remarks. And Pima County has finalized a cave and karst management plan for Colossal Cave Mountain Park. The plan integrates research, stewardship, and management strategies for both the show cave and the park's other cave systems. That's another project that Ian Milliken has been working on for several years. And I don't have anything else. I know Scott O'Mac is on. I'm not sure if he has anything to report today.
Scott,
thanks,
do you
Courtney.
Have anything?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. I think we have a question from Carlos. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Courtney. In addition to the letters that Chair Scott sent out, I guess the Board of Supervisors also issued a resolution opposing the reduction of the Ironwood National Monument for resource extraction. You're aware of that, too?
I have heard of that, but I don't know the details.
That's
I will
okay.
have to get back to you. Yeah.
If, so we're really, I mean, we're really pleased that the supervisors did both those things, and so much, in fact, that I was thinking that the commission should write a letter of support in regard to both of those issues. So I'm ready to make a motion in that regard. Regarding recent communications from the Pima County Board of Supervisors, I move that the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission issue a letter of support to the Pima County Board of Supervisors, CCing city staff and appropriate officials and representatives for their letters urging funding of the State Historic Preservation Office, and for Resolution 2025-13, opposing reduction of the Ironwood National Monument for resource extraction.
That's great. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
That's you, Julie?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Carlos, before we take any comments, can you email Carla and me that motion?
Sure.
And then we can work it in. Thank you. Okay, any discussion on the motion? Okay, if not, could you call the roll, Carla?
Yes. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Joel? You're on mute. Hold on, he's on mute. Can you unmute, Joel?
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 13-0.
Great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Anything else, Courtney? Or are you good?
Yep. I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Oh, I think Andrew had a question. Did you have a question for the county?
Yeah, I just have a question for Courtney. On the Colossal Cave Management Plan, does that include any of the historic structures around Colossal Cave Road, or is that just the caves and the natural resources?
I believe it's the caves and the natural resources. Scott, would you happen to know the answer to that?
I think you're right, Courtney. It's the cave itself, not any historic structures.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else before I move on? Okay, if not, item 7C is City of South Tucson. Is Joshua Lycia here? Okay, we'll say no report for that item.
Terry, could I, I can't remember last month's meeting. Desiree, did we tell the commission about the LHC grant last month?
I don't think so.
Would you mind doing it? Because you know all of it. You're really good
sure.
at it.
Sure.
Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting. So the Tucson Mexican American Women's League, which is a nonprofit, received a grant from Latinos and Heritage Conservation for $30,000 to complete a survey and cultural resource documentation, including oral histories, for the city of South Tucson. So they will be working with the city to do that project launching this summer. And Carlos was there at the, there was a project kickoff. So Commissioner Lozano and myself attended, and there were a lot of people. It got a fair amount of press as well. So great. Yeah, there's more online if you'd care to learn about it.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
it would be nice maybe if you would send a link to Carla Desiree so that people, like, is there something where they could just read about the grant and so forth?
Sure.
That would be great. And she'll distribute it to everybody. Perfect. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay. Item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. DTM is Patrick Hartley here. I didn't see him on the list. Anyone else from DTM for us? Okay.
Could I ask a quick question? Maybe Dan, by any chance, do you know anything about the major streets and routes update? Did you hear anything about that? That went to mayor and council, didn't it?
Yeah, so major streets and routes update went to Planning Commission for a study session last week, Wednesday. It was a really good discussion. And they kind of asked for some additional information before they set it for public hearing. So it'll be going back to them for a second study session prior to going to a public hearing. And then ultimately Planning Commission will make a recommendation, and then that will go to Mayor and Council. So it's a little ways down the road when it will go to Mayor and Council for adoption. But there'll be a study session in the next month or so. I don't think we've set a date quite yet, but I can make sure that when we come back next month, I make sure the commission knows when we'll be going back to Planning Commission.
Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Thanks. Anyone else? Great. Thanks for filling in on that, Dan. Appreciate it. Okay. Item 8 is TPCHC subcommittee and other committee council commission status reports. 8A is plans review subcommittee. I've got Michael and me, but Michael and Desiree, if you want to update quickly or add anything else to what Desiree already said. Michael?
No, Madam Chair, I don't think the only thing that I can add to what Desiree already said is just a summary of projects that Plans Review has done within this short time. The Benedictine Monastery, they did the adaptive reuse of the chapel spaces for a performing arts center, and they also have a new construction in that monastery for a restaurant. We just finished the review of the rehabilitation of the Tucson House recently. And thirdly, by yesterday or so, we also finished the review for the Econo Lodge, which is being used as a transitional youth apartment. They also went to the Historic Landscape Subcommittee to review the landscape, which was required by PRS. So that project is completed. Tomorrow, Plans Review will be looking at the Himmel Park. They have the new splash pad, the pond equipment building, and also a shed canopy that is being proposed at the Himmel Park. Plans Review is going to review that tomorrow. And I want to take the opportunity to really thank the member of the Plans Review Subcommittee. There are only 4 of them now, but they put in a lot of effort to help us review this project and even accept to schedule extra meetings to keep the projects going. Thank you all. That will end my presentation for today. If there's any question, I can answer.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? No? All right. Thanks again, Michael. Item 8B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard.
Hi, this is Tim Haggard. We did not have a meeting this last month, so we don't have anything to report.
So you didn't meet in May, or are you still meeting on the first of the month? Or
that is, yes.
So you didn't meet in June. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. So the Historic Landscape Subcommittee met on May 29th, and the items that we looked at, some of which were already described, are the Himmel Park splash pad, the Stone Avenue transitional housing, which is the Econo Lodge building, and we also gave input on the historic Fort Lowell HPZ design guidelines for landscape specifically. And I wanted to announce that our next meeting is going to be on Thursday, June 26th, but it will need to start at 10:30 instead of 10 o'clock a.m. And I will be sending out notice and minutes. Thank you. I mean, not an agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve, could you send me that by next Wednesday, only because I'm going to be traveling and it might be difficult? I don't know what my internet access is going to be. So is that possible?
Certainly. So before a week from today, we'll be happy to send you that.
Yeah, by next Wednesday, then I can definitely get it in, ask any questions I have. And I wanted to tell the group that Historic Landscapes really does a lot. They do some particularly focused reviews for us on landscape issues that feed into Plans Review, and we're very grateful. We had, I can't remember when, but they met an extra meeting to discuss a case just to meet a deadline. So, and their feedback on the the HPZ guidelines is really helpful as well. So it's quite the effort here, but we appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item 8D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. I'll be brief. Let's see, on TEP, the little update, and so if anyone's not familiar, these are these 100-foot, 138 kV power poles that they want to put through or adjacent to several historic districts. And the update is that TEP was supposed to appeal the zoning examiner's decisions, but that was postponed. And then, so we've already got our recommendations in, and we can just submit the same letter again. But then there's also good news. The Governor's Regulatory Review Council found that the TEP Line Siting Committee has no jurisdiction on undergrounding or rate making, and that the ACC also cannot legally direct the LSC on those issues. So it just means it's just good news. They were sort of overstepping some of their authority. So, and then my RTA item, usually Commissioner Lamb is my RTA person, but most people know that RTA Executive Director Farhad Moghimi was voted out at the last meeting. And frankly, I don't know, you know, what that means for some of the projects that we had issues with, but we'll find out more, you know, as we go. And I think that's all I have.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Carlos? Well, thanks for your, and Carlos, it wouldn't be the same if I didn't have at least one letter to work on with you every meeting. So thanks for keeping me out of trouble in my late evenings. I'm just kidding. It's kind of a joke, but no, Carlos is great to work with and with his team on writing letters. Okay, let's see where I am. I'm sorry. 8E is Commissioner on Equitable Housing and Development. That's Commissioner McDonald, but she's not here, so there'll be no report. Item 8F is Budget Subcommittee. This is me. We are frantically working, Carla and I and several others, to get all of the funds that the Budget Subcommittee voted to disperse from this year's fiscal year funds. And it's always a challenge, but I have to really hand it to Carla for her extreme patience with all of us. And we're getting there. So we may have some questions for folks afterwards, but we may not, because they may not be on to ask them the questions. So any questions on the budget? Okay. Item 8G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Commissioner Lamb is not here, but I will go ahead and briefly report on that. So Outreach and Training put in some proposals for funding from from the current fiscal year funds, and one of them is to continue our National Alliance of Preservation Commission memberships for everyone, also for all advisory boards and any staff that aren't connected with that, which is a really big deal because they offer a lot of great videos, you know, a lot of training through that site. And so when that membership comes online, we really will be in touch with everyone and they need to sign up. It's as simple as just signing up and saying you're part of this. Or I think maybe we'll do it where we submit everyone's emails, because we'll be requiring as part of your training to look at some of the selection of things that are going to be offered through that through them. And another thing we're doing is we're trying to get funding for two historic preservation experts to come up with webinars, you know, for the commission that can either be listened to live or they'll be recorded, and we'll want people to listen to those. And I think that one of the speakers will be talking about deconstruction, which is a big issue in historic preservation now. So, and then let's see what else. And Commissioner Lamb bought a bunch more binders. We're going to provide binders for new commissioners that don't have them, and we'll also start providing updates on USBs, because otherwise you're going to have like a legal office full of things, binders, you know. So that's it. Most people don't have a lot of room for books anymore. So, but they've been working hard to get this all done in a tight time frame. Any questions on that? Okay, if not, 8H is event subcommittee. We are meeting very regularly, usually about every 2 weeks. We'll be starting to meet soon every week with a group of people. So we're, again, partnering with the Presidio, but also this year, the Tucson Museum of Art will be involved. It's for the 250th celebration of the founding of the Presidio. It's going to be a huge event. It's going to have multiple stages. It's going to have community partner tables, like all in the streets around there, a lot of food opportunities. So, and it's, I believe, the Saturday right after the actual birthday. So whatever that is, like the 20th, I don't have my calendar here, but the birthday's on the 20th. It's that Saturday following. There'll also be the opening of the time capsule that was buried 50 years ago at the Museum of Art, and a new one. And I'd asked Mauro Trejo and also Ken Scoville to work on what the commission might want to put, but I don't have enough information on that yet. So stay poised, Mauro, for that, because we'll need to move on it quickly, you know. And all commissioners, be thinking of what would we want to be in the capsule from the commission, you know. And no, we can't take up the whole capsule. So think about that. Okay, any questions on the event? Oh, and we've invited all sorts of dignitaries who are eager and happy to come. I think the governor might even be coming, all sorts of people. It's going to be a big, big event. Okay, item 8I is the Preservation Awards Subcommittee. We obviously didn't have the Preservation Awards in May. We're looking at the fall. And Commissioner Kubisch, I'll be getting with you and Commissioner Scoville on, we need to at least select our venue. I hope to get in touch with you to meet sometime toward the end of July. Okay, let me see. Why do I have so many reports? Okay, item 9, City of Tucson Silverbell Road Widening Project, 404 violation. Update, do we have anything, Dan, from you?
No, we don't have any updates for you this month.
Okay, no updates this month. Okay, any questions on that? ASM, item 10, ASM permitting and policy updates. This is an Ian item. Did you have anything from him on that, Courtney?
No updates, thank you.
Okay, let's see. Okay, item 11 is update on City of Tucson and Pima County preservation programs and processes. 11 is City of Tucson. Do you have anything, Desiree? Yes.
Sure. So I wanted to share that on our main historic preservation landing page on the city website, we did upload a video, an instructional video for applicants looking to submit applications for historic reviews. So I wanted to share that, and kind of jumping ahead to a future agenda item, but our staff would like to work with you all, with a working group, to begin finalizing a work plan for the Historic Preservation Office, and also looking at process and procedure improvements. So I think there's another item we can talk more about that,
yeah,
as we get great down.
Yes. 11B is Pima County. Ian is not here. Courtney, did you have anything on that?
Any process? Yes. Only that Ian Milliken and I were able to meet with Desiree last week, I believe, and we will continue to work closely on aligning our processes and procedures that she was just mentioning, and we are looking forward to collaborating in the future.
Excellent. Thank you both. Okay, item 12 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Usually Commissioner Scoville reports on that. I don't have anything.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. When did you join, Ken?
Oh, about 5-10 minutes ago, I guess 5 minutes ago.
Oh, before you start, hold on. Did you get that, Carla, when he joined?
Yes, I have it documented here.
At what time did he join? I just want to put that down for me.
12:50, probably. 12:50.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. 12:50. All right, perfect. Okay, do you have anything to say on item 12? Ken?
Well, still an ongoing concern about the Atkins property at Fort Lowell. And I did meet with the county administrator Lesher about it, and they're working on some different processes, but building's already got one collapsed corner and the other corner is sort of being supported. I had grave concerns that I've been mentioning over the last 2 years to the previous historic preservation officer that needs a new roof, it needs some grading and drainage. There's been an estimate of around approximately $230,000 to get the building stabilized and ship shape, and I encourage the county to communicate with the city manager's office to see if we can split it or do something to it's a very important building for the Fort Lowell history of people living on the desert, and especially because the Atkins family, they use those officers' quarters, and that's one of the reasons why these buildings still exist today that have been recently stabilized, and one's been pretty well preserved on the outside. So it's a very significant building. It's an interesting Adobe, small Adobe building. And for some reason, the city has just decided to pursue demolition by neglect.
Any comments or questions on Ken's report? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ken.
Sure.
Item 13 is the Plan Tucson update. And Commissioner Erickson, I'm going to start out so we can take care of the first couple bullets, and then I'll turn it over to you to talk about the new working group, okay? Does that work for you, Helen?
Sounds good.
Okay, so Helen and I work closely on what this item would look like. So you always have the issue when you no longer meet on a working group, or let's say that a subcommittee is decommissioned or whatever, then what do you do with that last legal action report? So it you know, because it's always a legal action report from one meeting is approved at the next meeting, so that it sort of continues on that way. So in this case, I consulted with boards and commissions, and they said that we'll just approve it on this meeting. So it's a little, that's why we are oddly enough approving the LAR/minutes of the 5-2-25 Plan Tucson Working Group meeting, which was their last official meeting. Correct, Helen?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay. So if we could have a motion to approve, we'll get that piece out of the way.
I move that we approve it.
Great. And who will second?
I'll second, Sandra.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, could you call roll? And now I think we have 14 temporarily, right?
Yes. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 14-0.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now I'm going to turn it over to Helen, but I just first want to say that the Plan Tucson Working Group, they just did yeoman's work on many issues working with folks from the city and, you know, serving to strengthen our great working relationship with them. This is, in my opinion, the way the commission should work, you know, to support and learn and help city departments. So I think it's really working out well. So go ahead, Helen, about sunsetting.
So since Plan Tucson has now been passed by mayor and council and is going out to the voters, we have sort of done the work that we were supposed to do. And Dan, I would like to thank you and the rest of your staff, because this has been a very positive experience, I think, for everybody involved. And it has also given us an approach to how we can work together effectively in the future. And Desiree and I have also talked about this, to sort of use this as our model. Because we are the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission, we need to have a similar connection with Pima County. And we're not quite sure exactly how this is going to work yet. I've talked to Courtney about this, and whether we have joint meetings, separate meetings, this is all something we're going to have to figure out. So our first meeting in July, and Courtney, since you volunteered, and Desiree, I will be sending everybody a doodle poll to see how we can come up with a work plan that makes sense, that doesn't waste time, that shares our resources, all this kind of thing. Because it's more complex than just working as JJ has with the county, or as our group, Plan Tucson, working with the city, because now we've got two unwieldy partners, right? Or we hope not too unwieldy. The people who I am proposing start this, first of all, I also suggested that we have co-chairs, because JJ has worked with the county part of this, and I have worked with the city part of this. So again, you know, it's sort of, if we, for example, had to break into separate groups, subgroups at some point, then we would have a chair sort of connected to Pima County and a chair connected to Tucson. But we'll figure that out in July. again, the people that we've sort of pulled into this mini starting group are people who worked on both the Plan Tucson and Pima Prospers. So that, again, we've tried to have representation from both groups. And I hope that that will have, will be as effective as we were with Plan Tucson. So
I want to, oh, Helen, before we make this motion, I just wanted to mention, so that really it would be established, the working group would be established with the two co-chairs and the four members, but that would be your meeting. So it wouldn't be that if you only had county people there that you could only have a few. You always have to have four people for your quorum. Does that make sense? And right. So you can just vary your guest list or your other participating city and county members, you know, from staff folks. Yeah,
and
so that's
it. Who is running that particular meeting because of other reasons, which is why...
That would make sense. And so do we have a motion to do this? Are you okay with this name? We can always change the name if we don't like it. But, I mean, we're not really going to work with them on every policy and procedure in the city. It's really basically going to be historic preservation related, right?
Depends on how long a name you want. You know,
It's fine. We can have that juicy meat. We can have this, you know, let's go for the longest title of a working group that we can. So who would like to make that motion? You, Helen?
Okay, so then we're going to call it the TPCHC Policies and Procedures Working Group.
You know, with historic preservation in front of policies.
Well, if it's the TPCHC, in other words, City of Tucson, Pima County, and TBCHC Policies and Procedures Working Group is at.
No, I think it needs to say historic preservation in it. You know, it's just like we have awards and there are the historic preservation awards, not just the awards. Does that make sense?
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The City of Tucson and Pima County Historic Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group. I'm sure we'll be able to come up with some initials here.
Yeah, yeah.
With following members, J.J. Lamb and I as co-chairs, Andrew Christopher, Kathy Kubisch, and Carlos Lozano.
Okay, who will second that?
This is Blake. I'll second.
This is Kathy.
Okay, we'll do Blake because I think he got in before you. So let me see. We've got Helen and Blake. Okay, is there any discussion? I would just ask, Helen, that you make the meeting in July after the middle of the month.
I think everybody will be really happy with that.
Because I would like to sit in on the first meeting and just hear what exciting things you have to say. So, okay, let's go ahead. If there's no other discussion, let's go ahead and call the roll, please.
Allison Doggy.
Aye.
Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Blake Houghton.
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Yep. Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Joel, you're on mute. I see him. Joel, you're on mute. Unmute.
I can come back to him. Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Carrie Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Tim, great, thank you. Joel, can you get off of... He's giving you the thumbs up. Can you not... I can't do anything. I can't take him off mute. Can you?
No, let me see. No, I can't take him off.
And just, we can see him and he's giving us, we can't. No, you can't get off mute? No?
I can just, we'll do 1301 with technical difficulties.
Okay, sounds good. It passes, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is Helen. I would like to make one more comment. Because it may not be clear to everybody, but Pima Prospers is also going to sunset. Courtney, do you have a date for that? Because I think it may be confusing that our plan Tucson is sunsetting, but Pima Prospers isn't, but we're already moving towards this new group.
Well, we're item 14 is Pima Prospers, so can we just move on to that?
Sure.
So item 14 is Pima Prospers. Courtney, do you want to update on that because JJ's not here?
Thank you. As Commissioner Erickson mentioned, the 60-day review draft period is coming to a close. Pima County Development Services is accepting comments from the public until June 15th, and the working group has been holding meetings weekly for at least a couple of months now. And we are going to be having our last meeting soon. I know that Ricky Riojas had scheduled us another presentation, so that might be part of Pima Prospers, or perhaps it'll be part of the future working group, that I'm not sure. So as Commissioner Erickson said, we will be closing out our working group possibly next week. And I'll get back to the commission soon on some details on when that will be. Let's see. So comments from the public will be accepted until June 15th. It looks like on June 25th, the public hearing review will be done by the Planning and Zoning Commission, And then there will be a review, the upcoming schedule is that there will be review and comment by Pima County Board of Supervisors on July 15th, and consideration and action by the Board of Supervisors on August 5th. And I'd like to say that we've been working on a couple new concepts for this version of Pima Prospers as they relate to cultural resources. And we have two new policies that include the concept of heritage connections as well as deconstruction and an expanded definition of cultural significance. So we could talk about that now, or should we wait for Commissioner Lamb to have that discussion?
Because so she sent me the agenda for next Monday's meeting and the LAR from the past meeting. I just got that like late last night, or maybe this morning, I can't remember, but that'll be posted. And then I think obviously you guys will be on the agenda in the next meeting, and Kathy had a comment, I believe.
Kathy, I wanted to mention that Ricky Riojas has scheduled two meetings to take place, I believe, the next 2 weeks. One is on the 23rd. Katie from Seattle. Oh, no, that's Lauren from, I'm not sure where she's from. Next week, and also another presentation from Katie in Seattle. I'm sorry I don't have more complete information on that, but we do have two presentations scheduled, and okay. These are deconstruction.
Yeah, and so that will, I think almost the easiest thing, Courtney, would be for it to still be part of the Pima Prospers working group. If you want to invite others to attend, just let me know in advance. Because if it would be hard to just schedule a presentation, you know, that's, does that make sense? It's just better to have it as part of
absolutely
an already established group, and otherwise the headaches could be tremendous. And and then we can also let, because some of the rest of you may want to sit in on these great presentations, so we'll let you know.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I just wanted to mention one other thing that yesterday I sent our approved edits, the edits that were approved by the working group. They were a combination of Ian and I editing the document as well as the input from the working group. And I sent all of those to Mark Holden with Development Services yesterday.
Great. Well, thank you. I know you guys were working on it over the weekend, so there's no rest for the, is it weary or wicked? I forget.
I'll take both.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item 15 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Commissioner Steer usually reports on this. He's not here. No report. And I think I will remove this from the next agenda, but we can always have updates if people have information, you know, the commissioner's summary of current events or anything like that. Okay, item 16 is commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone want to mention something? Oh, not seeing any hands pop up. Okay. No.
I didn't raise my hand fast enough. This is Julie.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Julie.
I'm going to be incomplete about this, but maybe those who have heard the report can fill in the blanks. But I understand now that the city of Tucson has passed something that allows older neighborhoods to be able to provide what they call casitas on their property. They can either rent them out, use them as storage, etc., etc. And they, I think a rough translation in the newspaper said they could have, for instance, like two mother-in-law houses or mini houses plus two other structures. And I don't know if any of you had caught that or considered the impact that it definitely will have. Have any of you heard of that?
Yeah, this is just an information-only item, but that is, these are those accessory dwelling units, aren't they?
I'm not sure. I understood that it would apply to any older neighborhood that had been previously zoned for single dwelling homes.
We can't really have discussion, but Dan can say something informational.
I can clarify a couple things. The article that came out in the Star on Sunday kind of conflated a couple things, one of which is, and we've sent them some edits. I'm hoping that they post some of those. The state passed requirements for accessory dwelling units to allow for two accessory dwelling units on any residential lot in the city. We made changes related to that back in the fall. So the casitas stuff, those actually were made in the fall changes, and that was state directed. They also, at the same time as the accessory dwelling units bill, they did this middle housing bill, which is what I was talking about earlier. And there are requirements in the middle housing bill to allow for pretty much up to four units on any lot, any single family zoned lot. And the requirements of that were, there's like two parts of it, one of which is a mile from the central business district. Any zone would have to allow for that. And then 20% of any parcel that's 10 acres contiguously that's developed has to allow for middle housing, 20%. It's a little weird. All of these bills are drafted by people that may have large amounts of experience in zoning, maybe not. So we are working on that. Nothing's been passed. We did some outreach. We did three meetings. We're going to go to mayor and council, as I mentioned earlier, on the 17th to get their feedback, and then we'll be doing additional outreach in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Julie, though, and then Dan will give us a presentation on the middle housing next month.
That's correct.
Okay, but then good question, though, because sometimes you get, and some of these concepts, they're not that complicated, but they can be misinterpreted possibly, Dan, I don't know, or just conflated, as you said.
Yeah, I think that's what ended up happening, and I think they also, maybe it may have changed the title at the last minute to make it more exciting. We're working on trying to get some of those things clarified.
Great. Thank you. Okay. If no one else has any, we'll move to call to the audience. Carla or Anna, were any comments received by the deadline?
No comments were received.
Okay. Item 18, thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have any thoughts on inclusivity they'd like to share? No? Okay. Item 19 is schedule and future agenda items. So I'm asking for all agenda items to be emailed to me by no later than July 1st to be considered for the July agenda. Some time ago, early June, I emailed you about we're going to have to move the July meeting from its normal date, and we're going to move it. Thank you for everyone that provided feedback. On July 16th at noon, it'll be Wednesday, July 16th at noon, so please put that in your calendars, and I'll send you another note with my list of who said they could attend. Almost everyone said they could attend. The 23rd was my alternate date, and there were a number of people that will be out, probably out of town at that time. So our next meeting will be on July 16th at noon. So any other agenda items? We'll have the middle housing. I have that. Anything else you can say now, or you can just email me by July 1? No? Okay, well, thank you. Unbelievably, Steve, we are finishing before you have to get off, which is crazy. But thanks, everyone. It's really a very productive meeting, and If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and be adjourned at 1:17 p.m. And Carla, did you want me to stay on after we stop the recording to talk about any budget matters, or do you want me to just call you? Or because I don't think Ricky's on.
No, we can speak briefly after the meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, everyone. Right. We're adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Wow. Thanks.
Thanks.